Now we move on to John chapter 14 now, and our subject is really on the eternal hope that we have in the Lord. But of course, when we talk about eternal hope in the Lord, we have to deal with this problem called death. I think this is where we all, there's an old saying, everybody believes in heaven, but nobody wants to die. That is the reality of life. The subject of death is a difficult one to grapple with, understandably. And it even troubled the disciples of the Lord Jesus. And so our challenge is to understand and to believe in this hope that we have in the Lord, an eternal hope, a certain hope. Well, let's take a look at John 14 and the first four verses. Let's look at it very carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ had to address this problem, not because the disciples brought it up, but because he knew that deep down their hearts were troubled. Being the Lord, being all-knowing, he would understand his disciples far better than they knew themselves. And so he said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Well, let's take a look at this word troubled. What does that mean, troubled? What troubled the hearts of the disciples? Well, in immediate moment, it was the impending, the imminent death of the Lord Jesus. The Lord had already told them way back when that he would be delivered to the authorities, that he would suffer, that he would die, but he would rise from the dead. So at least on three different occasions, he told them that this is going to happen. And then came the Last Supper. And this Last Supper, once again, he tells them that he is going to die. So if we take a look at the way the Lord Jesus Christ has been speaking to the disciples, they were just unable to process what the Lord Jesus was trying to teach them. Were they aware that it would happen as the Lord Jesus Christ said? Yes. But were they able, were they ready to grapple with all the thoughts of death? No. And this is a problem. The death of the Lord Jesus mattered to them, understandably, because they loved the Lord Jesus. Their own death in time to come may not have been the major focus, but it is not all that far away. Such is human mortality. So when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about being troubled, what did he really mean? Well, obviously, there has to be a sense of distress. There's a sense of sadness. There's a sense of loss. All these things are part of being troubled, understandably. But what caused all these things, actually? Well, you really have a mixture of things. Emotions would, of course, be involved. When you love somebody, the thought of losing that somebody in death makes the emotions get all jumbled up. I think that's a reality. Then, of course, there is also a lack of certain knowledge. Not that there was no knowledge at all, but the lack of certain knowledge was what added to the problem. And then, of course, we have to add the fact that there was also a lack of a strong and vibrant faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that those things combined together added up with the disciples feeling troubled. So what's the answer to the problem of feeling troubled? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ gave the answer. And so he said these words, those very important words for us to look at. You believe in God. Believe also in me. The word believe literally means to have faith. But not in a general sense of a word here now, but a certain definite faith in the Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you believe in God. There is no denying the fact that the disciples did believe in God. The question is, what does that amount to? Very often, the idea of believing in God is more traditional than we realize. The personal aspect of it is very often not dealt with meaningfully. Now, the disciples, all of them were Jews. So if you understand the typical upbringing of a Jew, it would be from a child. They would be taught the scriptures. They will have to pass their bar mitzvah. They become a son of the commandment. And they are taught to believe in God. And so the belief in God is literally a historical thing. It is a national thing. Added to that, there was culture. So it's a cultural thing. And then, you know, every Sabbath, they would go to the synagogue or go to the temple to worship, and it would be a very formal thing. So did the disciples have a faith in God? Did they believe in God? The answer is yes. Right? But the question is, would that be enough to overcome emotional feelings about death, for example? And so the Lord Jesus Christ added the next few words, believe also in me. Now, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ now is differentiated, because now there is a specific focus, not in the general idea of God, but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is specific. And understanding the Lord Jesus Christ is always a personal relationship of faith in him. The faith that the Lord Jesus Christ talks about is a relational faith. It is clear, it is certain, it is definite. So they may be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but until they can establish that they have that kind of personal faith in the Lord as well, their general understanding of faith may not be able to help them cope with the reality of death, especially imminent death. Well, then the Lord Jesus Christ shifted the focus from believing in God, believing in the Lord Jesus, to another aspect. And that is to understand and believe that God has a dwelling place that has got, it's large, it is spacious, there are many rooms in reality. Translated, mansions, right? Why mansions? Because you cannot imagine that heaven is so vast and we have one tiny little room, a little cubicle. And so the translators opted for the word mansions. Well, this is understandable, okay? Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ went on further to say, I go and prepare a place for you, this is what we call a figure of speech. What does the Lord need to do to prepare any place? In 6 days, he created the whole universe. Why would he need to, as it were, prepare a place for you? Right? Are the rooms not being fixed up yet? Is there a problem with the construction crew? Are the angels not working hard enough? Obviously, that is not the point. So we have a figure of speech here. What does it mean, I go and prepare a place for you? And so as we examine it a little bit more deeply, the Lord Jesus Christ was actually speaking about the fact that he would die. First, he must die on the cross for us. Without his death on the cross for us, we are not going to be able to go to heaven at all. Two, he must die in our place, or our sins would never be forgiven. He must rise from the dead. And as he rises from the dead, where we know that he has conquered and defeated Satan and death. This is what he meant when he says he's going to prepare a place for us. Right? Please do not imagine that he's going to get all the doors fixed, there are the windows, and then there are the curtains, and then there's the furniture, there is a fireplace, but things like that. That's not how it's going to work out. But when he said, I go and prepare a place for you, what he really meant was that he must fulfill and finish the last part of God's plan for our salvation. And that would be his death and his resurrection. Now we turn to a part of the book of Hebrews, a part of scriptures that we need to be a little bit more familiar with. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, for example, we read, "Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, likewise shed in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." This is what the Lord Jesus Christ needed to do, preparing the place in heaven for us. He has to partake of flesh and blood. He has to partake of death. And as he faced death, and death could not hold him down, thus he destroyed Satan's power of death. And if we have the faith to believe this, the fear of death is overcome. So therefore, we need not be in bondage to the fear of death anymore. So that's what the Lord Jesus Christ meant when he said, I go and prepare a place for you. There were things that he must do that the disciples had not fully comprehended. The penalty of sin must be paid. And the place of the cross was the place where the Lord Jesus Christ would die for the sins of the world, like the Lamb of God that he was. And God will raise him up. And when that is completed, the work of preparation of heaven would then also be complete. So we're not talking about physical furnishings at all in any way, because we would have an eternal spiritual body. And so that is not the focus. The challenge is for the disciples to understand, to comprehend what the Lord Jesus Christ had yet to do, to die on the cross, to rise from the dead, to battle with the evil one, to conquer, to defeat death and Satan. Then that work is done. And when that is done, we read the Lord Jesus Christ saying, I will come again and receive you to myself. Now, that is an important part. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ had to rise from the dead, appear to all his disciples again and again for 40 days from the first day of his resurrection. We celebrate that on Easter Sunday. To the 40th day where he was taken up to be with heaven. But there, that was something the Lord Jesus Christ had to do. And he will receive him to himself. He received them to himself. In this case here, us. So in our situation, it is not seeing the physically resurrected Lord Jesus. But because of the scriptures, because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that he is truly alive. And death has no power over him, nor has Satan any power over him in any way at any time. And then the Lord Jesus will come and receive us to himself. Now, this is a wonderfully comforting thought. So when we die, and we will all die one day, the question is, what would our thoughts be? And I think we should bear in mind what the Lord Jesus Christ said. One, we must not allow our hearts to be troubled greatly. Otherwise, we would be in bondage to death, bondage to Satan, bondage to fears. We don't have to be. our hearts need not be troubled. What should we focus on? We should be focusing on believing in God, firstly. First, we must begin with believing in God. Then we go on to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only his teachings, but his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, what the scriptures said about how he has defeated Satan and death through his resurrection. If we were to talk about death along these lines, then we need not fear death at all. The fear of death would be overcome. The bondage that we have, the bondage finally is to the devil himself. And that bondage will affect the vibrance of our faith. That bondage will cause distress to come. And we will have an emotional malfunction. Then we would have see our spiritual capacity affected adversely. And that is not going to work out well. So wherein is our challenge? The need is to have a stronger faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ and his words, his teachings, are going to be of great and vital importance to us. You know, and we see many deaths every year. For from the very beginning till today, we see young people, younger people die. We see little babies die. We see older people die. We see both men and women die across the years, obviously. What do we need to find? A greater sense of clarity of what life is all about. Ultimately, it will lead to death. The question is, how do we face death? And I like what the Lord Jesus Christ said about how to face death. And he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. What he's asking for is to help us to appreciate that we need to have clarity of our faith in God. What does it mean to have a clear faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ? The greater the clarity that God has a place in heaven for us, that the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for us, and he has already done that, then we have a greater sense of clarity of where our faith would take us. Right back to God in heaven. Right? What will then happen? It will result in certainty. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ was always so certain about his death, about his resurrection. That's what he was trying to teach his disciples again and again. He was speaking with great clarity, with great certainty of his own death, of the resurrection, of the Father, of his power over sin, over Satan, over death, and over anything that makes us come under bondage. And this is what we can have too. Yes, there will be emotions felt. We will feel a loss of someone who is dear to us. That goes without question. Is it wrong to feel sad? No. But it would be unnecessary to be so troubled that we can't function. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ does not want us to have at the end of the day. Yes, we can face that with courage, with faith, with certainty, that when we are absent in the body, we are present with the Lord. And there is a place for us in heaven. How do we know? Because the Lord has gone to prepare for us a place, and he has already prepared that place for us through his own death, through overcoming death, through overcoming Satan, through overcoming the power of death. We are very, very certain that we have an eternal hope in heaven, in God, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. This must be our confidence as we face the specter of death. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can face death with great courage, with great certainty and clarity. Help us to keep on developing our faith in you, especially in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may know that he has already gone to prepare that place for us, and that place has been prepared through his death on the cross and his resurrection. Help us to overcome our fears of death and of Satan, and to face death with great certainty, clarity, and courage. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.